Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 309, part 2, the conclusion to The Sheep. Today is Sunday, September 15th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
You're coming down now and helping Jim, right? And so you're yielding yourself to God by active service. This is yielding. You could be doing something else. You could be sitting home twiddling your thumbs, right? You come down and you give your service and you give your service. Okay, now that's yielding to God. That's what it is. Oh, maybe someone will come along. Roy, why are you down there washing dishes? Why, Roy, you know, we're having an afternoon prayer meeting. Well, you can see I'm yielding all I've learned and I'm putting it into active service. You yield yourself to God by giving up your wool. That's sort of like shearing you. That's what it's all about, don't you know? Yielding yourself for active service. Some, I believe, are called to supper. Called to it. Called to it. Do you feel like you've been called to suffer? Oh, how negative that is. And I can hear people on the radio right now. God doesn't call anybody to suffer. Yes, some are called to it. Oh, I hope it ain't me. Can't get any worse, can it? Can it? Yeah, you might live another 15 or 20 years. That's worse in some cases. Do you think the years is going to make you enjoy it anymore? And some are called to suffer, yielding up personal comfort. When the time, and it will come, the time comes for personal endurance. Along comes the shear, cut, 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 taking away the wool. Cutting it away. Now, affliction is often used as the big shearer. The husband is taken away, or the wife is taken away, or sometimes the children, or property is shorn off. Or your health. Oh, that's so neggy. You never appreciate being well until you get sick. Oh, that thumb that you hit with a hammer feels so good when it heals, don't it? When it stops hurting. Maybe you're in a hospital bed and you're listening to me. Or sometimes a shear cuts off a man's good name. Could you stand that? Some of you preachers, you were all popular, and now all of a sudden you're not so popular anymore. Huh? Maybe your pitcher used to be pinned up on the icebox, and now it's in the garbage can. Maybe slander will follow. That's the shear. Maybe your comforts vanish. Well, this is your shearing time. And then again, maybe if this didn't happen, you could not glorify God. Maybe if you weren't shorn, maybe if you weren't sheared by the shearer, maybe you wouldn't glorify God. Maybe you'd be stuck in the old mundane way of life, just plodding along, singing a song. Maybe you never would have got involved. Maybe I'm saying if this didn't happen to you, you could not glorify God. If this is the case, we should surrender ourselves, not only surrender ourselves, but cheerfully, feeling like this. I lay myself down with this intent, that thou shouldest take from me anything and everything, and do what you want with me, for I am not my own, but the Bible says, I am bought with a price. Try to keep that in mind next time you go to complain, that you were bought with a price. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Oh, God, I'm glad I don't belong to myself. What a mess. Now, God can bless a mess. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Oh, of course not. You're not a mess. But I mean, my case, I am glad that I do not belong to myself and I'm bought with a price. Aren't you glad you're bought and paid for by the blood and the cross? Aren't you glad? But now next, note the sheep himself is benefited by the operation of the shearing. Before the shearing of the sheep, the wool is long and old and dirty. The sheep looks ragged and forlorn. You ever seen a sheep just before that they shear them? They have all this hair hanging over their face and it's hanging down. They got clots and cockle burrs all over them and stink. And they got great big fat bunches of wool all over them. They're fat and sassy. See, if the wool were there when the heat of the summer came, you couldn't bear it. God is preparing us, brothers and sisters. God is preparing us. Some of our comforts must go. And so when the Lord shears us, we do not like the operation too much. Any more than the sheep do. Have you been sheared lately, you listening on the radio? Maybe you've lost something in your life and you've been sheared. Maybe it's your popularity. Maybe that big, fat, woolly popularity situation was sheared off of you. Maybe some of that wool coming off of some friends or family. Maybe there's a great big old pile of it over there. See, first, it's for his glory, and secondly, it's for our benefit. It benefits you to be sheared. It benefits you to be sheared by the shepherd. And so, therefore, we jump at the chance to submit once we know. We learn obedience involves sacrifice and suffering, but also brings the joy. You're not encumbered by all of this wool. All of this knowledge has to be cut off. All of this puffed up, all of this self-righteousness, all of this great big self-righteous, great big old woolly bag of wool coming down the road. Maybe that has to be sheared off, shorn off. You don't know how miserable you are until you got it all off. I'm glad these things left. There's some little rotten things that left me. Some of my friends left. I feel even a lot lighter. Well, maybe they weren't entirely your friend. Maybe that's it, too. Maybe it's something in your life and it's had to be cut off. Maybe it was pride. That's a great big old fat woolly lamb, ain't it? Pride. Anger and resentment. And you can blame it on your mom and dad all you want to. The Bible tells you what to do. Just get out of it. Go on over and get clipped. Well, the world's got clipped joints all over the place, don't they? Man, they clip you all right. I'm talking about losing this life to gain your life. All of the woolly woolies. Lose it. You don't even know. And there's so many people that don't want to lose their life, their fat woolly bodies, and have be shorn. Well, once they do, they find out and they say, my God, why was I so worried about that? Maybe God's trying to get rid of some kind of an attitude. Maybe it's a temper fit you get into. Maybe it's because people don't treat you just exactly right. Maybe that's your great big old fat woolly body. Maybe you'll send someone to you and you'll just stand there and get madder and hotter under all this wool. Go on over and get clipped. Sometimes these people are sent in the name of Jesus to do the clipping. But oh, how good it feels when all that woolly woolly is gone. Isn't there a song like that? Woolly woolly? I think there is. I think I heard it on the radio one time. I believe this. There are many things which we should have liked to have kept, which if we'd have kept them would not have proved blessings but curses. Did you ever worry about losing something? And then you lost the thing and you thought, wow, I'm glad I lost that thing. Yeah, I thought that was going to be a blessing. It was a blasting. And I lost it. It really was a curse. I could have really got in deep. So glad to be back here in shallow water and all clipped. You don't look too good, though, people looking. What's happening? How are you feeling spiritually? You look so thin and so pale and you look so woolless. Yeah, but I feel great. I'm not carrying around all this excessive baggage, all of this wool, all this, everybody coming to me for advice and everything. Now they don't clamor to me anymore because, see, I'm clipped. I don't look good, but I sure feel great. I've given my life. And people like to go to people that got things to tell them. Well, what can you tell me? Go get clipped. Go get shorn. Go get all that wool cut off your complaining, hot, miserable body. They hear this? See, a steel blessing is a curse. Let's say the Lord blesses you with money and you don't give it away to anybody. And you keep it and it gets all stale. Moth and rust and decay, the Bible says. You don't want to share it with anybody. What a stale old coin that is. Maybe God gives you tender mercies. And you keep that blessing all to yourself. Oh, did I ever tell you how God blessed me? Oh, did he ever bless me? And you don't share it with anybody else, it gets stale. Did God give you forgiveness and you can't share it with anybody? How long do you hold on to a grudge Isn't that a word, though? Grudge. How long do you hold on to a grudge? Well, if God blessed you with mercies, and he says in the Bible, I will be merciful, means I'll give mercy if you'll give mercy. And freely, freely I've given you forgiveness. Can you forgive him and you forgive her? You hold on to that and it gets stale. You remember in the Bible when they had manna that came from heaven and it came down? And it came in the morning. You want to know why? Because it was cool. And the sand was cool. And you had to eat it right away in the morning. You know what happened to it in the sun afternoon? It got stale and putrid. As soon as you get a blessing, give it away. As soon as you receive forgiveness, oh, go on out and be forgiving. If you don't, it'll be a curse. It can be stale. Like people that get saved and they get so happy and they feel so good, and then all of a sudden they fall into a terrible legalistic fit, and they pick up their little attaché case and their little legal books, and they go around telling everybody how God saved them because they were so wonderful and they decided they wanted to follow Jesus. You didn't decide anything. Lord made you so miserable you just had to go to Jesus because he foreknew you were going to come. That's what. You can't take credit for anything. And so now when you receive that, why do we forget about it? And we keep it to ourselves and don't give it away. It becomes a curse. A blessing not shared, money not shared is a curse. Food that you have that isn't shared becomes putrid and spoiled. Looks like tomorrow we'll be up on Emerson and Broadway. Got all that bread out there. We'll probably go over there and pick up some more stuff over there. Going to go over tomorrow morning and pick up more vegetables and fruit and stuff like that. And I say, oh, let's hold on to it for a while. It's only the 15th, and there'll be more people about the 20th or the 25th. Let's just hold on to it. You'll be driving around in a curse. You won't even be able to stand the stink of the thing. That blessing turns into a curse and it starts to stink. And it's a testimony against God's people when they don't share food and they let it rot and stink. It's the same way with money that isn't shared. Are you hearing this, bankers? Got yourself in a whole lot of trouble sending money all over the world, investing in all kinds of things, and going down there investing all over the world, then going down there and saying somebody else and putting on some kind of a makeup and making yourself look like you're south of the border yourself and take it. I don't know what you do with it, but I know there's a whole lot of crooks out there. No, I said it and I'm glad. See, and what's happened there is it turned into a curse because it wasn't shared. Don't keep your mercies, I said, until they become corrupt. Don't withhold forgiveness till someone perishes. Oh, there's so many like that. I'm thinking right now of Jim and Tammy Baker. If you're listening on the radio and you can't forgive them people, don't withhold it until they perish. Are you hearing this? Don't withhold that until they perish. Isn't there a lot of folks like that? Oh, God. And then maybe up to a certain point for you to be wealthy was a blessing. And then, on the other hand, if it would not be a blessing any longer, God would cut it off. Oh, how we hate to think of that. We got all this wealth, see? And it's such a, oh, you've been blessed. And there's so many bless me's out there. Yeah, God blessed me with this, and he blessed me with that, and he blessed me with this, and he blessed me with that, and he blessed me with this, and he blessed me with that, and I claim this in the name of Jesus, and by faith I claimed it, and so on like that. Okay, time to take the blessings away. What's going to happen to some of them Christians? Whoa. I don't want to be around them when it happens. Be about the most miserablest, meanest persons in the world. Because their little plan of prosperity didn't totally work out for their own glory and their own benefit while everybody else is starving out there. They're busy claiming all this junk for themselves. God says, well, it was a blessing to you, but you didn't use it, so now it's turned into it. I'm going to have to take it away. See, what you don't use, you lose. You don't use love on people, you lose it. If your condition is so hardened that you can only love someone for maybe 2 weeks, and maybe that's as far as you can go with it. I'll put up with you for 2 weeks. I'm doing pretty good. I used to like people for 24 hours and then kick them. Now it's 2 weeks, man. I'm growing in love. Wonder how many marriages are like that. Oh, we haven't had a fight for 2 weeks. Okay, put the gloves on. Let's go! Are you ready for the shears? Or are you going to run away from a blessing? It is a blessing to go to the shearer and lose all of it. Lose your life to gain it. A woolly woolly. Maybe a child, or maybe a friend, or a mate, or a job, or a situation ceases to be a blessing. Maybe they'll be cut off from you. Did you ever think of it? Well, when God withdraws a blessing, it's because it is no longer a blessing. Maybe it's become a god. I was reading in this book about sheep, and it says the sheep are washed before they are shorn. They are thrown into the water. They pick them up and throw them in the water. And they become frightened, it says, almost unto death. And so are we in trials until we get over to the other side. And so if the good shepherd is going to clip your wool, ask him to wash it first. Lord, if you're going to give me a clip job, if you're going to clip all this wool, and you're going to make me totally look like a skinhead, wash me. Cleanse me, O Lord. Check out my heart to see if there be any evil thing within it. And Lord, cleanse me spirit, soul, and body. You pray over your food, don't you? How many pray over their food? I do. Why do you pray over your food? You might have some cook out there that's cooking that thing and he's beating on it. You better bless it. Shouldn't we then ask for a blessing on our troubles before we get into them? Lord, bless this trouble that's coming my way. Now, I know that doesn't sound right to you, but it lines up with Scripture. Jesus was on the cross. Was that not a blessed event as far as you and I? And he even suffered for the joy that was before him. Shouldn't we say, Lord, bless my trouble? Oh, no, I want to pray to get right out of this thing. No way, that doesn't sound scriptural. Yes, it is scriptural. You were born, and Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation and you will have trial. Mark it down. You'll be hated in the house of your friends. But doesn't it always turn out to be a blessing? When you're like that sheep that just accepts it? When you just say, yes, mother, I'll go ahead and do that. Yes, father, I'll go ahead and do that. And isn't it a blessing when you get it done? Isn't it better than a warm bottom? Let me lock this message up. And so the harvest fails and things go wrong. Shouldn't we say, Lord, sanctify this poverty, this loss, and cause it to be a means of grace to us? Oh, no, that sounds too lopsided. No, it is not. Why not ask a blessing on a cup of bitterness? Well, Jesus did. Lord, Father, take this cup, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But not, if it isn't, Lord, if you want me to go through this thing, then have your own way. Let thine will be done. Then bless this cup. Whatever. Your will. The will of God to do the will of God. Isn't that a blessing? When you're sheared of the Lord, isn't that a blessing? Of course it is. Ask to be washed if the shearing must come. And let it be your main concern to have clean wool. Not according to man's opinion, but God's. Now after the washing, the sheep feels great. You feel great after you're washed. After you've prayed and you've asked for forgiveness for something or other or something like that. And you just feel the washing of the water of the Word and the anointing of God flowing over your whole body. Isn't that wonderful to know the will of God and you feel that washing in the Spirit? But then the comfort isn't long. It loses it. The shears go to work. Right after you feel real good, okay? Now you're feeling real joyful and you've just been washed and cleaned up and you prayed to God and you're feeling great. Uh-oh, the shear comes. Poor sheep, you'll lose your wool. Child of God, there is no earthly comfort in our possession. You will either leave it or it will leave you. You can't take it to the grave with you. Nothing is our own except our God. My God, my God. Well, someone said on the radio, not our sin. No, Jesus took it on. Nothing is our own. Our gifts are on lease. And our blessings are on lease. Even the mercies don't belong to us. God loans them to us. All our possessions, I'm saying, are brief favors, borrowed for an hour. As sheep, it yields its wool and loses its comfort. And so must we yield our all. Now, one comfort can we take across the stream of death. Mark that down, please. You can't take it with you. Don't kick when the shear comes. You'll get cut. Ask the Lord to clip good and close so you can cry out like Job. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And then add like Job something, I think. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that it? Notice the shearers shear at the suitable time in the warm, genial climate, weather. And so when the Lord afflicts us, he selects the best possible time. It isn't always the best time for us, though, is it? We're all set up, and oh, we've been bathed and washed by the water of the world. We're feeling great, and we just know things are going to happen. And then we hear them shears coming, clip, 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 clip. Clip. What? I'm feeling so great. And so woolly woolly, woolly woolly, and we have all this wool. Oh Lord, what is that? What is that I hear? It's the clipper coming. You can't do it right now. It'll look awful, Lord. When things are about to get hot in our Christian walk, we get clipped. We don't even know when it's getting hot. He will not send trouble, though, when we're troubled too much. Me in trouble? He ain't going to send you double trouble unless he sends you double help. Double your pleasure, double your... And I'm talking about double mint gum, either. If we're depressed, God doesn't send us heavy burdens. We are left seemingly alone in Woolis. Seemingly. Pray that your flight, the Bible says, be not in the winter. Yeah. When we have much joy, trials are very, very near. You ever had real happy time? Oh, thank you. How's it going, buddy? Couldn't be greater. Oh, God's blessing all over the place. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened, this happened, and that happened. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, I got a main line to heaven now. I got a red phone connection. Hey, things are going, turning up roses. Everything's coming up roses, huh? Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength, so he's just getting you ready. Also, when sorrows thicken, our deliverance is approaching. When things get so dark, you just can't see anymore. It's about ready for the light to be at the end of that tunnel. The Lord will never send you two burdens at a time. And if he does, he sends you double strength. Then his shearing time is always right on time, and next, remember, there is new wool coming. Well, we're crying about losing earthly comforts with the one hand, one, two, three, he restores with 30, 60, 90. And so it's many times, I believe, necessary to remove things and people. And people! Oh, how we hate to lose people. Oh, whatever happened to them? Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Oh, where have all the people gone? Long time they've been gone. Whatever happened to that 400 plus that came down here 9 years ago? Boy, we were so big, fat, woolly, big church. Big, fat, but we weren't doing anything. We weren't doing a single solitary thing. Nothing but walking around sniffing at each other's wool. Oh. Boy, you got a nice coat on you. Where'd you get that? Well, I went to a seminar. Yeah, I went to a seminar. I learned a lot. Boy, did I learn a lot. And now I'm starting a 5-year Bible study. Burp, burp, burp. We weren't doing anything. And now, believe it or not, with this, we don't look so good. We're all cut back and everything, you know. And we're kind of skinny and scrawny. We're not two big woolly woolies here anymore. Now it's the largest mission in the United States per consistent bag giveaway. Isn't that something? Because all that wool got cut off and all that dead wood just sort of floated right out of the church. And everybody kind of just looks for kind of an excuse to float out. Well, find one, please. If you're looking for one, I'll give you one, right? So is it always having a great, large, prosperous, big, fat congregation? A big, fat sheep bleeding? Huh? And so many times it is necessary to remove things and people so we can receive the greater gain. Yes, it will be so. We shall have cause for rejoicing. It says in the Bible, joy cometh in the morning. If we have lost one position, you listening on the radio, there is another one for you. Providence opens a second door when the first door is shut. Well, you think like three curtains. And you're standing there. Which curtain? Well, what was the name of that program? I forget. But they had three curtains there. One curtain, two curtains, three curtains. And then they had to do so many annex and go through this whole thing. Okay, now you get to go for the curtains. Oh, now there's this behind this curtain and that, but I can't tell you what curtain it is. And you got the wrong curtain? Did you ever hear anybody on that program say, "Yippee, I got a waffle iron," when there was a Cadillac behind that curtain over there? thank you for the waffle iron. Providence opens up the second door when it closes the first one. Praise God for the blessing in disguise, folks. If that door is closed and there's a second one that's open to you. Didn't the Lord remove manna for old corn in Canaan? The water of the rock was replaced by the Jordan brooks. O sheep of the Lord's family, there is new wool a-coming. Don't fret at the shearing. And so shearing by affliction glorifies God. Did you get clipped? How'd you turn out on your deal?
Still praying.
Still praying, but I mean, you, are you getting clipped in the process? Well, I mean, this is a good thing. See, you're clipped, you're feeling better now, you're able to kind of relax because it looks like, praise God, this thing might not go through, and it's starting to look like, oh, do we really want that anyway? Maybe the doors will completely close, but then there's a second one. God has to close one, so you go for the second one, the one he wants maybe. I don't know, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying, that could be, I don't know. Maybe the bank is the shearer. Nope, clap, click, 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 click. Maybe it isn't their false teeth clicking together either. It's the shearer. I mean, the Lord's using that, see, well. Oh, Mike, somebody that's really supposed to be concerned. Oh, Mike, say, how did that deal ever work out that you were working in, that resort thing? I mean, they could care less, you know. How did that ever work out? Oh, it didn't work out. Really? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear you. Hi, man. Huh? Come on now. See, there's very few preachers that will give you the truth, but the truth will set you free. If it doesn't work out, praise God, there's a second door. Hey, you're looking at a dude up here that's been sheared several times. And people just look at you like, boy, look at those skinny little legs. There's hardly any wool on that old sheep. Man, it'll look like he's going to make it to the next pasture there. You know what I mean? But you know what? You always grow a new crop of wool. And so shearing by affliction glorify God. It also rewards the shepherd and it benefits us. Don't fight the shear. Stop struggling. When you correct your child, do you select something pleasant? When your mother is going to correct you, does she pick out something real pleasant? You better shut up or I'm going to give you a Hershey bar. And if you keep it up, young man, I'm going to give you a Baby Ruth. Huh? And a Snickers for you? No. You never teach him a lesson by giving him some comfort. Do you? No, it's withholding something. It's taking something away. Some privilege, some wool. It's like telling your teenager, okay, now, of course you understand this. You didn't do any of these things you were asked to do. So, like I said, we're going to have to just keep you in the house for a couple weeks. But not just to sit around. You're going to be working. Oh, you're going to know the meaning of the word work. W-O-R-K, exclamation point, work. Underlined twice, in red. You're going to learn what work is. You don't walk up and say, oh, honey, you've disobeyed. So now, for you disobeying, I'm going to get you a new car. Take that. Take this new car and a full tank of gas. More. The painfulness of the punishment is the essence of it. If it's painful when a deal doesn't go through, when it's painful that something doesn't work out, yeah, the painfulness of the punishment is the essence of it. Yes, God does not send us through trials and tribulations for no reason. There's a reason involved. They will come. And they're the best things that could ever happen to you. They work patience in you, the Bible says. They work endurance into you. They change your life. The things you used to love, you hate. You used to love to get mad. Boy, did I ever tell that guy. I gave him a piece of my mind. Well, you don't do that anymore. You hate to do that. This wool that's got to be cut off. And so I'm saying this to tell you that God does use the rod. So yield yourself and stop struggling and don't kick, the Bible says, against the pricks. You'll have much more pain by rebelling rather than submitting, so stop fretting. What good is it anyway? You can't change things. Stop murmuring. It's wasted breath. And lie passive in the hand of God. Say, Lord, do what you will. Help me to lose my life to gain it, and whatever you do is fine. Now we can say this, I believe. And I think I can believe this when I say it myself, that we're not far from heaven when we can say, God, have your own way in my life. And just fall submissive to the Lord's will. Are you ready, in other words, for the shearing? Sheep. Are you ready to be sheared? That's it. Now the biggest part of this message, of course, is, it says in the Bible, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. Isn't that simple? Now he led you to the Lord, right? Right. Let's pray with these two people right here. And you just pray right after me, won't you? Can you say what I say? Say, dear Lord Jesus, you both say that. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me, and baptize me in God's Holy Spirit, and with a new language, I'll praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad you came tonight.
There you have it. That was episode 309. That was part two, the conclusion to The Sheep. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to the blog and the podcast. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday's message, the grass. Have a beautiful week and God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage.
may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, may be the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks, you may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preaching spiritual pride, maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side, maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.